As a Christian, it's important to know what you believe and why you believe it. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to become rooted and grounded in our faith.
What intrigues me is sometimes parents who are so concerned about sanitizing the toys in the nursery willfully leave on wicked television, and their children watch that and their minds are tarnished forever. And I want to tell you something, if you're going to take care of sanitizing the children's nursery, you might want to consider the children's heart as well.
We live in a shallow and uprooted society, but as Christians, we can be firmly rooted in our relationship with Christ. In our series, Rooted for Growth, we will discover the nutrients we need to remain spiritually strong.
Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California.
If you don't have a healthy spiritual root system, then every part of your life is impacted negatively. Through today's scriptures, we will explore what it means to be a rooted Christian who is growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Rooted in the Word.
Well, the Bible is very clear that Jesus Christ is the living Word. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is Logos, the living, eternal Word. And today, we celebrate the fact that when we open this Word, we can draw closer to the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the living Word. And I want you to know this morning, it is impossible to be rooted in Christ if you are not getting rooted in this book, the Bible. It is impossible to be rooted and grounded in Christ if you're not being rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Now, sometimes we look at someone's life and we might see some incident that takes place. We might see a teenager that leaves the faith. We might see a young person that shaves half of their hair off and dyes the other half another color and starts dressing strangely. We might hear of a man that leaves his wife. And when we hear about these things or see these things, we call them a fruit problem. We see it as fruit in their life, bad fruit. And normally what we say about that is whenever there is a fruit problem, there's probably a root problem. In other words, when suddenly we see this situation where someone is changing their entire lifestyle, going into sin, leaving their family, that's the fruit that we see. But I'm telling you, underneath that, there's a root problem. There's something going on at the root. So wherever there's a fruit problem, there's normally a root problem. Say that with me. Whenever there's a problem, there's normally a And whenever something really bizarre happens, it's just our human nature to try to figure out what was going on underneath that person's mind, and heart, and what was at the root of that. Now, nobody really knows what's going on in someone's heart or someone's mind. And that's why this morning it's so important that all of us get rooted and grounded in Christ. Now, this morning, as we open up the book of James, I want you to see with me that there are three indications in James chapter 1 that indicate to us someone that is a genuine disciple. And it is not that they are a member of the church. How many of you have seen Christian people do really bizarre stuff? I have. So just being in a church doesn't mean you're going to bear good fruit. But in the book of James, chapter 1, by way of introduction, there are three indications of someone that's a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And I put them in your notes. Number one, you'll know when someone is a true disciple by the way they respond to trials. Someone that is faithful through the trials has a real dynamic faith. Number two, you'll know someone is a true disciple according to their response to temptation. Now, that's not to say that a Christian won't sin or fall, but it is to say that he grieves when that happens and he repents and he's constantly trying to grow in the Lord. So number one, his response to trials, his response to temptations. And thirdly, what we're going to preach about this morning is his response to the truth of the Word of God. You'll know whether or not someone is truly a disciple by whether or not they really respond to what the Bible says. It's an indication as to what's going on in their heart spiritually. Now, a disciple of Jesus Christ then is a person that is rooted and grounded in the truth of Jesus Christ. Look at what the Bible says in John 8:31. It's in your notes. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. Now let's just say that together. Ready, begin. If ye continue in my word, then... The Bible's not that hard to understand. That's pretty basic. Jesus says, look it, you stay in my word, then I'll know that you're really my follower. You're following my word, you are my disciple indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So this morning, how can we get rooted and grounded in the Word of God? How many of you this morning would say, Pastor Chapel, I want to know more of this book. I want my life to bear good fruit. I don't want to do bizarre stuff. I don't want to embarrass my family. I don't want to embarrass my Lord. I want to bear the right kind of fruit. How many of you are with me so far this morning? All right. Then I'm going to give you a few practical steps from this passage to help you get rooted this morning. All right. First of all, whenever you approach the Bible, including this service, you've got to be prepared to receive. You've got to be ready to receive the Word of God, whether it's tomorrow when you open it at home or next Sunday at church, you've got to be prepared to receive it. You must have a spirit of receptivity, a spirit of receptivity. Now look what it says in verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Swift, that means ready. I want you to be ready to hear the word of God. Oftentimes Jesus said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, he knew that not everybody was tuned in. But he said, those of you that want it, here it comes, all right? Be swift to hear. There's a story in the Bible in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Samuel was a young man, not yet a prophet, living there in the temple with Eli, the priest. And Samuel woke up from bed, this young boy, and he heard a voice. And he went into Eli. He said, yes, sir, Eli, were you calling me? And Eli was not calling him. And a second time he woke up and he went in to the prophet and to the priest, rather, and he was not calling him. And a third time he went in. And this time Eli knew what was happening. God was speaking to Samuel. God in the Old Testament spoke directly and audibly to his prophets. And so Eli said something to Samuel that all of us need to hear. And it's in your notes there. And listen to this. 1 Samuel 3:9. Go, lie down, and it shall be that if he shall call to thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Now, when you walk through the doors of that church house, of this church house, here's what we ought to say this morning. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Let's say it together. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. You may not like some announcement or some joke or something about me or the choir or something, but I'm going to tell you, if you're a Christian and you really love the Lord, when this book is open, the right attitude is, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I want to know what God has to say, right? And so Samuel was told this, be swift to hear. There was a naturalist, a scientist who was walking through a park one day with a friend. And as they were walking through the park, the naturalist said to his friend, he said, did you hear the cricket just then? Did you hear the sound of that cricket? His friend said, with all the cars and with all the bells and with all the people, how did you hear a cricket? And the man looked to him and he said, well, he said, you hear what you train yourself to hear. You hear what you train yourself to hear. He said, watch this. He took out of his pocket a bunch of coins. He threw them down on the sidewalk and a dozen people stopped in their tracks to see where the money was. Our ears are trained for certain things. God says, I want you to train your ear to hear my word. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I get excited when I watch Batman, but when I read the Bible, I just get a little bit bored. Why don't you train yourself to hear the Word of God? be disciplined and ready to hear what the Bible has to say. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word which ye heard of us, you received it as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So we've got to be swift to hear. I hope you came to church this morning ready to hear what the Bible has to say. Secondly, we've got to be slow to speak. Sometimes we're so busy thinking of what we're going to say, rebutting what's being said, thinking about what we're going to do next, that we don't get what God's trying to say. And the Bible says in Proverbs 17:28, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. We've got to listen. We've got to be slow to speak. Lehman Strauss said, "Could it be that we are not more swift to hear because we are not slow to speak? God gave us two ears and one mouth." All right, so just think about that. He gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. Swift to hear, slow to speak. Notice the third phrase, slow to wrath. Wrath speaks of an inner resentment. And in this context, it speaks of someone who might be hearing something from the Bible, some preacher is preaching, and someone sitting there getting angry at what is being preached. Now you listen, it happens. But the fact of the matter is, when the Bible is being preached and you're resenting or arguing or getting angry, number one, you're not angry at the preacher, though I've had people express anger to me for things that I've said, but your anger's not at the preacher, your anger's with God, and you're gonna miss a blessing if you try to argue with God about it instead of opening up your heart to what God's trying to say. God says, be slow to anger. And you see, many people become angry when they're confronted with the truth. I may stand and preach a message against cheating on your wife or carousing in the community or having hate in your heart or whatever. I might preach to the teenagers about obeying their parents. And sometimes they'll get angry and rebellious in their response. But the Bible is very clear that when we are angry, we're not going to get the benefit of what God is trying to say. We need to be ready to hear what is being said. Paul said, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth?" When I go to the doctor, good night, if you're like me, you have to wait a long time before you even get in. You know what I'm talking about? And you get to watch all kinds of fun people while you're doing that, you know? Little babies and just everything. And when you finally get in there, when I get into the doctor, I want to do one thing. I want to figure out what's going on and how to fix it. And I want to hear what the man is going to say. If he says, go home and stand on your head, I probably would do that too, right? Why do we come to church preoccupied and wanting to negotiate with God? If we can trust a medical doctor, can we not trust the Bible? Can we not come with a spirit this morning to say, God, speak to me. I want to know what you want me to hear today. A spirit of receptivity. Then there must be a spirit of humility. If your heart is really prepared, there must be a spirit of humility. Now look what it says in verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, God says, when you come to this book, I want you to lay aside, and he calls it here, filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And really, he's speaking about immorality of thought and practice. He said, if you think that you can be living like some kind of a whoremonger and thinking and acting with hatred and evil thoughts in your life, and then come and get a blessing from the Bible, it's not going to happen.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com.
and thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.